Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week 14 on the horizon, the final stretch run before conference championships, the week of December 1st. Let's take a look at the updated odds entering the holiday weekend. We see Texas A&M at plus 170, followed by the Georgia Bulldogs at plus 185. Alabama hanging in there at 2-1, and Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels rounded out at a 15-1 number. Thoughts about where A&M is? They have a rivalry game against Texas. This conference is loaded. We could see multiple teams in the college football playoff.
We sure can, and we still don't have any sure bet who's going to be in the SEC championship. Texas A&M, because they have not faltered. They have won every game. They have found a way to win. Now, they have won mostly on the bottom half of the SEC games, not the top half, and that's the negative against them, but they have played well enough to win. Of course, a big win over Notre Dame as well, and so I can see them being the number one team. But if I'm going to tell you, Georgia's got a tough one to finish up with, but Alabama is playing Auburn in the Iron Bowl in Auburn. A lot of good football to be played, and you could see losses to any of those teams because of who they're playing.
Now, Ole Miss, benefit that the fact that they have the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State, most likely they're not going to make an SEC championship. Right. That should benefit them. But then their head coach, Lane Kiffin, might not be on the sidelines come December 19th when the college football playoff starts. There's rumors about him maybe jumping to LSU or Florida. Are they in a prime position with or without Lane Kiffin heading into this week matchup against Mississippi State, who's fighting for bowl eligibility right now?
Well, you know, that coaching search and Lane Kiffin, it's been interesting for him, but it's a mess right now. If he loses this football game, they're going to blame him. He's going to have to leave because it's a mess. Because if he's going to stay, he should go ahead and make his mind up. So it's a difficult situation. He's gone after this game, I think. If he doesn't make his mind up and they don't win, I think he's almost got to leave. I just think it's a mess, and I think everybody's going to look to him and say, why did you do this? They have a chance to have the greatest season in the history of their school. If they win Friday, would he walk away? Could he leave that situation? It's an uncomfortable situation, and to be honest with you, Lane enjoys the limelight. He's enjoying every bit of it, but I'm not sure he didn't see this thing getting to this point where he needs to make his mind up as soon as that game's over.
And Coach, I know Lane loves the limelight, right? And I understand he likes having the media attention. But if his sights and his real concern was the Ole Miss Rebels, and big picture, he thought about this team making the college football playoff and taking care of business, wouldn't he come right out earlier, maybe a week ago, and get out ahead of this and say, I'm the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels. I'm not going anywhere. Our thoughts are on a potential Egg Bowl, SEC title, and more importantly, national championship. I mean, if that was his ultimate goal, why put the team at a detriment with all this media uncertainty and bring extra pressure on the team if that wasn't his ultimate goal?
Well, you know, you've hit it right on the head. This is a huge game. This game means more to the fans of these two schools than any other game. And now Lane Kiffin, if he knew he was going to stay at Ole Miss, and I guarantee he knows whether he's coming or going. In his mind, he knows whether he's coming or going. And if he's waiting now till after this game, I just think he's done a disservice to the Ole Miss program and what they did to help him. You've got to remember, they gave him a chance to reestablish himself as a Power Four head coach when he had some difficulties in the past. And I just think what should be a positive could very well turn out to a real negative. And no telling what would be said or done if they did not win this game.
Absolutely, and we'll see exactly how that plays out a little bit later in the week on Friday. That's the Egg Bowl, 7.5-point favorite for the Ole Miss Rebels over Jeff Lebby and the Bulldogs. The game is played in Starkville. We'll see and break it down a little bit later in the show. Coach, another team that nobody thought would be here entering the final week of the regular season is, in fact, the Oklahoma Sooners. They took care of business against a very good Missouri defense. It wasn't flashy, but they get the job done 17-6 over Missouri. But you look at Brett Venables, he has done a fantastic job. This defense is as good as anybody, and they're deserving. They get the win Saturday over LSU. They can make some noise in the college football playoff.
Yeah, when you play defense that good and you can stop the run like they do, they held Ahmad Hardy to, what, 50, 52, 53 yards in the game, and they dominated on a defensive side of the ball against a team that had to run to win. They could not run enough to get this game. His offense didn't score a lot of points, but John Mateer did enough. I've said this before. He plays Vinny ball, or Venable ball is the way he plays it. Stuff your running game. Get turnovers from you, and find a way to win defensively, score just enough. So again, it's going to be a good finish. I believe he finishes and wins this game. My thoughts that he's probably the SEC coach of the year if he comes through, if not for Lane Kiffin, depending on what that situation is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mateer did have a solid performance in the first half, 85-yard touchdown pass to give the Sooners the lead. They never looked back. That defense contained Bo Prabula and the Missouri offense. We'll see how it plays out against an ineffective LSU offense this coming weekend. Oklahoma right now 10-point home favorites against the Tigers. This is a game that Oklahoma lost last year by double digits. We'll see how it plays out. I do want to take a look back at the Arkansas loss to Texas. Everybody's taking a look and looking at Arch Manning, and this team puts up 52 against the Razorbacks, but that defense got torched early on by Mike Washington and Talon Green. Coach, they put up 37 points, over 500 yards of total offense. They perform like that against Texas A&M. I think they're going to get blown out potentially in this matchup.
Well, they did probably what they had to do to win, because they have problems, but they didn't try to run the ball because they're not very good at it. They threw it like crazy. Arch Manning had his most yards ever, but they can't stop people on offense. Arkansas put a ton of points on the board, and they did what they had to do to outscore them. But, man, that's not going to happen week in and week out. The pressure that Oklahoma can put on your quarterback, and Texas A&M can put on your quarterback, and Texas A&M's third down defense, all those things. It could be a long day for Texas. They won the game. They did what they had to do to outscore Arkansas, but they also revealed again the problems they have as a postseason football team, the lack of running ability, the lack of a strong defense.
Now, they beat Texas A&M last year in a low-scoring game in Kyle Field, 17-7. If they win a close game against A&M and they have three losses, 9-3 overall, I've asked you this throughout the regular season. I'll ask you again. Yes. Is Texas deserving to be in the college football playoff based off their body of work up until this point?
I don't have them going there. I just don't think with three losses they're going to establish themselves well enough. I might still go with Oklahoma as one of the 12 with only two losses in the body of work that they have. Look at the number of top 15 teams, top 10 teams that Oklahoma has beaten in the second half of their season. Missouri and Alabama and the teams they've won against week after week. So, again, if they do win, I don't believe Texas with three losses is going to get in. There's just going to be too many 10-2 season teams around the country that would give that would be deserving of the playoffs, and I think have a good enough schedule to make it into that final 12.
We'll see. Now, when you look at just Texas overall, they did lose to Ohio State, number two team in the country, 14-7. They did beat Oklahoma the game after John Mateer came back from a thumb injury, but we'll see exactly how it plays out against the top-ranked Aggies in Austin, Texas. They are 2.5-point home underdogs to Marcel Reed and Mike Elko. When we come back, we'll dive into some other Week 14 primetime matchups right here on the Bowden Blitz. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week 13 recaps and taking a look at the upcoming games in week number 14. Coach, one of the dynamic performances took place last Saturday in Nashville. Vanderbilt laid 7.5 points to Kentucky. This was a game where they had not beaten Kentucky in Nashville dating back to 2015. They had lost four straight at home in the series against the Wildcats. They stepped up, built an early first half lead, but this game was all about Diego Pavia. He puts up multiple touchdowns, throws for over 480 yards, and Vanderbilt routs the Wildcats 45-17. Clark Lee has done a fantastic job, 600 yards of total offense, and they really contain the Wildcats at that particular time, 500, fighting for bowl eligibility. Thoughts about where Vanderbilt and Clark Lee are entering week number 14?
Well, I mean, Diego Pavia saves his best for last home game. He's playing in Nashville and 484 yards, five touchdowns. He ran for another one. Clark Lee says what I believe, that if you're talking about Heisman years, Heisman performances, nobody has done more to deserve the Heisman than Diego Pavia. I know there are quarterbacks that are with great football teams that are undefeated right now, but he is their entire team. He's been the most electric, the most totally in charge quarterback in the country. So don't know where it's going to go, but he sure did everything he could do. And they're having their greatest record of all time. They've won 9 games during the regular season for the first time since the 60s. And with one more win, it'll be the most wins during a regular season since 2015. I mean, since 1915. So, you know, it's an incredible season they're having at Virginia. And it was all about Diego Pavia against Kentucky.
It was, and we'll see if Clark Lee is there for the long term. That's the biggest thing. We know James Franklin took the Commodores to back-to-back 9-4 seasons, but those were with bowl wins and back-to-back years. Clark Lee has done it in the regular season. The potential for 10 or even 11 wins this year is not out of the realm of possibility. They do have a tough upcoming game against the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll take a look at Tennessee's matchup against Florida last week. Coach, I told you, back-to-back home games for the Florida Gators, two rivalry games. There's no doubt they're going to get up for both. Which one would it be? Well, it wasn't against the Volunteers. They fell behind 21-0. Coach, they got blown out 31-11. This Tennessee team played very well on both sides of the football. Joey Aguilar and the offense stepped up. Josh Heupel and this team put up some numbers last week.
Yeah, it was 31-0 at halftime. The stadium was half empty. I think Florida they gave up the ghost. They had been through what they can. They've lost games. The new coach has been is being talked about, and everybody is looking for the future. And so don't feel good about their ability. I didn't feel good about their ability to play good again. Tennessee, again, it is a rivalry. You made the point, which one's more important, Tennessee or Florida State? Well, you'd think Florida State is the way they played against Tennessee, but the point is, I'm not sure they've got anything left. Although it would be a very, very big for those players and those fans to come back and beat Florida State in a game that would allow Florida State to go to a bowl if they could win.
Yeah, when you look at Florida and LSU, just thoughts, which one is the better program right now? LSU struggled to cover against Western Kentucky. They win that game 13-10. We know that Florida has the resources. We heard certain reports that if Lane Kiffin is offered $90 million, LSU would throw $25 million maybe at a roster. Thoughts about, in your opinion, which is the better job, LSU or the Gators?
That's a toss-up to me, depending on where you like to live and what you look for in a place. But, I mean, personally, I love LSU because I know the commitment, the lack of anything else that matters to people in Louisiana but college football. I think you've got more diversity. Their basketball program is big. They've got other interests in Florida. I think they're both great places where you will have the resources to win national championship. For me, I just like the total commitment to college football that LSU has. But I will say this, in regard to Lane Kiffin, I think he has some ties to Florida that may override that.
Yeah, and if he, let's just say one of the programs are going to lose out, whether it be LSU or whether it be Florida, where does the other program go potentially? Because you're going from Lane Kiffin, the hottest potential commodity in all of college football right now. The drop-off could be severe. Is it a coach like Drinkwitz for LSU and even Florida? Is it Summerall? Give me your thoughts about who potentially could take the other job should Kiffin bolt Ole Miss in Week 14.
Well, there's definitely only one major name out there, and that's Lane Kiffin. Everything else, from a standpoint of signing a big publicity sign, there's nobody out there that has the kind of flair and the name recognition that he has. But there are some good ones out there. And, of course, John Summerall, who is wanted badly by Auburn as well. He's from Alabama. But I look at Drinkwitz at Missouri, who's done a good job. You know, nobody talks about the coach at SMU, but Lashley, I mean, he would fit perfectly at Florida if they were to go after somebody like him. I don't think anybody is thinking about some of these coaches, but I'm going to tell you, if Florida is doing things behind the scene, those coaches will pay attention, because most every coach in the country knows that you've got everything you need to win a championship at the University of Florida as well as LSU.
Is Drinkwitz still a hot commodity? I know they lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Vanderbilt. Or would Lee be potentially that name now? I mean, seeing what Lee has done in Vanderbilt, if you were making the decision, would you go Drinkwitz? Would you go Lee?
I'd go Drinkwitz. I think his body of work is better. Lee, you know, he had two losing seasons without Pabia. And then when Pabia came, he went 7-6 winning the bowl, but he didn't win on his own. He won. Now, he is smart enough to get that quarterback to go there, but we don't know for sure how much of that is Diego Pabia. And if he leaves them, can they recruit? Will he take them to that level again? So I think Drinkwitz has a body of work. I think it's a little bit stronger. And he finds a way to win with whoever he's got at quarterback. He finds a way to win most of his games. Now, will he leave Missouri? I don't know.
When Coach and I return, we'll dive into those primetime top 25 battles in the SEC right here on the Bowden Blitz. Marquee games that have SEC title implications and also college football playoff implications coming this weekend. We'll come right back and break it down. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down all things SEC. We'll take a look at the Friday matchup. It's Texas against Texas A&M. Texas picked up this victory last year, 17-7. Coach, right now, they're catching 2.5 against the Aggies. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, I see this game being much more like Texas playing Georgia, except it's at home. You know, Texas went out there last week and showed again they can throw the football, but they rushed for under 100 yards. That's not going to work against Texas A&M. They've got great pressure. They put on a quarterback. They've got a great third down defense. And the fact that Texas has yet to decide they can run, I think that's a one-dimensional offense. And I think they play right into the hands of Texas A&M. And I think Texas A&M is going to get after them. And I think Texas is going to be stuck in the same situation they had when they played Georgia just a couple of weeks ago.
I'm with you. I actually like A&M in the matchup. Again, I know a lot of people are saying Texas will step up, get the win, and potentially crack the college football playoff. I just like Elko. I like the versatility of Marcel Reed. I feel strong about it. I think Texas A&M is the much better team, and they'll get exploited. The Longhorns will in this matchup. The other big matchup in the conference takes place on Saturday night. But, Coach, it's the Iron Bowl. You know this game well. You were on the field last Saturday. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. From the series perspective, Alabama has won 5 straight. Auburn went to Deuce Knight last week in the out-of-conference win. They're going back to Ashton Daniels for this matchup. Coach, 5.5-point underdog for Auburn. I think they're live. I think this is my bet of the week. They strike the upset over Alabama.
I think if you don't put make sure Auburn's live, you're not paying attention. In the 17 times the Iron Bowl has been played at Jordan-Hare Stadium Field in Auburn, Auburn's won 10 out of 17. I know I won 93, 95, 97, and I was an underdog the first two times we played and was able to win that game because at home, in the dark, a night game, the atmosphere, it is a huge game. I remember before the game of my first year there, they asked one of our fans in the on the interview for TV, is this game life and death? And he said, oh, no, it's much more important than that. That's how this game is in that state. But I really can see a walk-off field goal for Auburn to win this football game. Alabama better be ready because they still don't run it quite well enough. And I think if Ashton Daniels can play clean, not turn the ball over, that's the quarterback they're going to go back to. He gives them a dual threat. He gives them enough of a run and pass option. And remember, their defense has been superior most of the season, has been very, very good. That's going to allow them to slow down Alabama because Alabama is not a great running team. They're a good running team, but not a great running team. And I think that puts Auburn in a perfect position. So, again, I've got this feeling that Auburn – and let me say this. When I watched that Mercer guy, I was there this past weekend. There's an enthusiasm. There's an excitement again. They've got spirit because they've changed the coach. They've had two quarterbacks have great games, and they just feel good about themselves. And that positive attitude is very important when you're going into a game like this one.
Absolutely. Let's put up the graphic. Let's see you last weekend.
Look at that.
You got the national champion, right? That's it. You were on probation that year. It doesn't matter, though. National champions, undefeated coach of the year. I mean, that was unbelievable with Pat Nixon, that team. Throughout your tenure on the Plains, I mean, you stepped up in marquee rivalry games. Thoughts just about the experience with your former players?
Well, it was very important to my player, maybe more so than me, because my dad was named national champion in 93, and we were on probation, but we were the only undefeated team. We weren't allowed to be in the postseason. We weren't allowed to be on TV, and those players got out there and won every single game, the final one against the defending champion of Alabama, Crimson Tide. And so I was glad for them. We were named national championship by one other team. But if you remember, I think 91 was the last year they gave, like, Georgia Tech and Colorado co-champions. They stopped doing that. But they did recognize that we had been named national champions. So it was a great atmosphere, a lot of fun for those players. And it was good to see those guys again. It makes me feel old because that was a long time ago.
Yeah, now I said Pat Nixon was Stan White, the former, I believe, yes, New York Giant backup for years. Stan White, fantastic. Frank Sanders, I mean, that team. Right. I told you, you coached some great college and NFL players on the next level, and we'll break down this game a little bit later in the week after Thanksgiving. Coach Bowden and I will be on Friday, Black Friday, breaking down all of the top 25 battles in the SEC. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Enjoy the games. We'll see you on Friday right here on the Bowden Blitz.